All right. Well, hey, welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, which is a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news and specializing in track days, club racing, and great entertainment. We truly do it all. And this week, we are brought to you once again by Working Class Customs, which is a custom fabrication shop in this area. And you can ask any other questions that you have on that to Cole.
And I'm Cole.
I'm Easton. We are your two favorite hosts of your favorite weekly motorcycle podcast. And tonight we are joining you once again together, which is still rare, but becoming increasingly less rare for these couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll for the time being.
We'll go back to normal after that. Coming at you from what we will just call...
I like it. The Office. Not to be confused with the sitcom.
True. Yeah, we're not trying to... Yeah. Just this is... We're in The Office. This is not The Office. We are in The Office recording.
Okay. Now that that's established...
How's the weather today?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, we always get to talk about the weather.
It's freaking raining and then muggy and then hot.
And then wind out of nowhere and then rain again, but only for an hour.
You brought it with you. It's not normal.
The muggy part cracks me up. But anyway, we're not a weather channel. We are here to talk to you about motorcycles, and I think we're going to cover a little bit of an interesting non-MotoGP sanctioned but covered by MotoGP race event that happened this weekend.
Yep.
Over in Italy.
I think hopefully we got some interesting takes on that. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But first, what they've all been waiting for.
They have been waiting for it. We do have for you, once again, a weekly rider tip, which is brought to you by Bittinger Motorsports, which is private coaching that builds solid riders through vision-based training. This week, we're gonna start with just one, but I've got a surprise for later in the show. I'll bring that up here in a little bit. But if you were listening last week, this tip is kind of related to last week. We got it actually shortly after finishing the episode, and I was kind of laughing a little bit because I was like, this is very related to what we just talked about. But always a great tip from Josh Bittinger himself. He says, understand the economics of a full race season before you commit. Be honest with your goals for the season and understand what a season will truly cost with your goals. Entry fees, tires, travel expenses, tires, fuel repairs, maintenance, and tires add up. It's easy for a novice racer to spend $15,000 to $20,000 on a season. Up to a certain point, racing can be done on the cheap, using takeoffs, finding other ways to save money. When you really want to start competing, the price tag goes up significantly. Added practice and testing days with fresh tires, fresh and multiple tires each round, nicer equipment, spare equipment, running multiple bikes, running endurance races, and a plethora of little extras can easily drive a season to $30,000, $40,000, and beyond. So many racers run out of money or get to an expert level and tap out. Set a budget and goals and ask guidance from experienced racers.
Woo! Did he mention tires?
No, I never heard tires at all. Is that part of the expenses for racing?
Were you making that up, or did he say tires that many times?
He did say tires
that many times. I like it. Tires.
It has to be mentioned. I mean, it is. Yeah, who? One of our guests at one point said that no matter where you are in motorsport, tires is like your number one cost. Yeah, it
makes sense. You can go to almost any hole-in-the-wall track event, and there's going to be a tire guy.
Yeah.
You know, there might not be a fairing guy or a suspension guy, but there's going to be a tire guy.
Absolutely, every time. Every time. Maybe two, maybe three different brands. And I feel like at track days especially, I don't know about club racing weekends, you could talk a little more on that, but sometimes there's not even like competing. It's just whoever has tires available, because you can only bring so many in a trailer and they get used so much that eventually you get to where we're running out, and you might be a Pirelli guy, but Dunlop's got an extra set that Pirelli doesn't. So
nothing like fresh rubbers.
Yep.
Gotta have some freshies.
Then you get all these leftover takeoffs that have 10 laps, 8 laps, not worth using anymore.
That's a whole industry in itself.
And that kind of goes into Josh's tip to bring it back around to that. But we talked about that a lot last week. The numbers that he threw out, I was kind of like, whoa. And then I thought about it, and I was like, I guess you're not wrong.
I hope my wife doesn't watch this.
Well, I was thinking about you because I'm like, you're still technically in an amateur season, but you're running two bikes. And I think this is your last season doing that.
I hope so.
You're just trying to run that vintage class, which is awesome. But, you're trying to run multiple classes. You're trying to run multiple bikes. And then, he talked about spare parts. We talked about that a lot last week. Yeah, the money adds up fast, quick. So I think I like the perspective you put it in of, you know, set a goal of I want to complete this and then think about the amount of money it's going to take. Because if you come into your amateur season and, you know, if you've got unlimited money, then run anything you want. Do it all. But if you only have so much money, you might need to look into, okay, no, I'm just going to run this one class and I'm going to take the championship for this one class rather than trying to run, you know, you can run stock 1000 and vintage or non-vintage and, you know, you're under whatever it might be. You don't have to run every race every time, every weekend. You can just try and championship it in one class.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Josh. I mean, thanks for the tip. I mean, it was a little depressing. maybe next week we'll try to get something a little more upbeat and happy. Like, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, hey, if you're listening, go check out Josh Bittinger down at Bittinger Motorsports. We got a link down in the description. So go check it out. Go ride with him. He's got some good coaching programs down there. A lot of cross training, running mini moto stuff. And down at MSRH, it's a private track. So get down there with him on the days that he has available. Or you can ride with him through RideSmart. So go check both of those guys out. Without further ado, I say we roll the intro and get into the Ducati World Champion race.
You better figure that name out during the break. Yep. Roll it.
Yesterday at one point, I was in sixth.
And we're back.
You stole that.
I did. Who did I steal it from?
This guy.
Well, you get a little weird sometimes when we're like in person. You get all different.
I know.
It is different. When you have someone there and you're not just looking at the camera, it's different.
Because I don't have to yell to make sure you're listening.
That's fair. Maybe the yelling all the time is what...
That's probably true. That's why you guys get the voice changes on the thing. It's hard to edit out my animation.
There you go. Ducati Race of Champions. Not to be confused with World Ducati Week.
Ducati Race of Champions.
Race of Champions 2024.
That happened today at
5 p.m. local time.
At 5 p.m. local time. I mean, you'll be watching this a little later in the week, but yeah. We just got done watching that. I think we both had some interesting takes from it.
It was a first for both of us. And we're going to ask for some comments from our European listeners, friends across the pond, because I'm curious about some things now that it kind of enlightened a little bit of.
Well, first, let's talk a little bit about what this is for the. So every year, Ducati puts on a Ducati Week over in Italy, mm-hmm. celebration of all things Ducati. Coincidentally, as we all us MotoGP fans know, the last however many years have been pretty much dominated by Ducati. All the top riders.
Yep, and not just MotoGP, World Superbike also.
It's true.
Kind of all around the world, Ducati is finally starting to live up to their name, I guess.
The brick?
Okay, change their name to what they've always wanted? I don't know. They've always made beautiful bikes. You know, you can't – I don't think there's a single person out there that can look at a Ducati and say, like, that's ugly. No one's – really ever said that. I've never met anyone. Most people that don't even know motorcycles will recognize the name. I think outside of the motorcycle world, they're known as like the Ferrari of motorcycles.
Absolutely.
Everyone thinks they're unobtainable. Sometimes their prices are near that. They have always been at the top of the list, but they used to not have the standings in racing, the performance on the track, even the performance on the road to kind of back that up. It was just beauty and speed, which, you know, Italy, that's what they're good for over there. But they definitely have kind of pulled something out of the woodwork and rose to the top.
Yeah. So every year they get together. Again, a celebration of all things Ducati. The week, the festivities all culminate, come to an end with a race of champions.
Yes. Not every year, as we found out, which is why we haven't watched it in the past. And I needed to do some research on that, but I will leave it up to people that might know a little bit better, Ducati fans. But I'm pretty sure that when they release a new Panigale, that is when we get the Race of Champions.
Gotcha.
So
we have all the big-name players, all the Ducati riders showing up for a 10-lap race in Misano. As you start peeling back the layers, it's quite interesting. We're going to take all your big players from MotoGP, from World Superbike. We got Bagnaia, Bastianini.
Yep.
We got DG. We got Batista from World Superbike, Rinaldi from World Superbike, the Buliga.
The Marquez brothers. You got a couple test riders.
I wasn't going to say anything about them.
Yeah, we'll get there later. But you got a test rider hanging out there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got the two Pramac boys. So when I first heard about it, the media was big on, hey, Marquez and Bagnaia are going to be on the same bike racing. And it's not a sanctioned race. You're not getting points. It's kind of just a Ducati wants to give their fans something to watch, something to do. And so they bring the riders out for it. With that, the whole, which we'll, I think, dive into even a little bit more later, but there's the question of, like, how much are these guys going to try? And we saw maybe a little bit of that. We also, the commentators wanted to claim it a little bit of that. We're not sure where you agree with yet. Yeah. Again, more on that to follow.
We don't.
But, yeah, you get – I thought it was going to be all the people, like a bunch of world champions that they brought in. But now it's just basically every current Ducati rider on a world standpoint.
Jorge Martin. I think I forgot to mention him.
Yeah, Martin, Morbidelli, Pramac brothers. They're not brothers.
Yeah, so they show up with these Ducatis, and it's a new model.
Mm-hmm. It's a brand new Panigale V4S. So not the R. It's not the crazy top of the line. It's just the standard. You can go buy this on the – that's what they kept saying the whole time. So you can go buy this on the showroom floor minus all these crazy parts.
So they, of course, were racing on slicks.
Yep.
So they're running Pirelli slicks. They were not really able to adjust much.
Yeah, no, as far as – they made it sound like you got slicks, a drag clutch, the race exhaust. Those were the three things they were talking about. Obviously, they're out there in their full getup, so they're wearing their colors. The bikes are painted with their colors. They got belly pans. They're probably safety wired. They're built to race. They're good on a safety standpoint, but as far as changing anything out on the bike, besides the exhaust and the tires and the dry clutch, everything else is supposed to be exactly the same. And not just what you can buy, but they weren't even allowed to go in and, yeah, adjust the suspension or
right.
Power mode or traction control, any of that. Everyone was literally on the same package doing the same thing. So,
which brings up all sorts of interesting takes on what can Marc Marquez do on the same bike as Bagnaia? Of course, that's the first one they go to. But how does a World Superbike racer stack up against a MotoGP racer? Will they have the advantage because they ride bikes that are closer to that on a daily basis? MotoGP guys are on these, you know, fake rocket ships that were made in fantasy land.
Big crazy prototypes on Michelin tires. We're also all running a Pirelli slick tire. They didn't go into any more detail on that, whether or not it was, you know, all the same compound, which I assume it was. If it's the consumer, like everyday civilian consumer version, or if it's
something special
specialized for that track, for that bike. I will say the first thing we noticed, I think, was they take off from the start and there was almost like a pause. We're kind of waiting for something and it's a little slow.
It looks like they're in slow motion.
It does. It. I will say the pole time was within a second and a half of
World Superbike times.
Yeah,
so they were not slow.
Yeah, they were. It's not like they weren't pushing. You know, and he was out there.
But I got to say, I got a feeling watching it, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but I got a feeling watching it that I kept thinking the track was too small. The track is too small for these bikes.
You did mention that.
And if the track is too small for those bikes, then how does a MotoGP bike make the track look big enough for it?
Yeah, that was weird. The other thing that you mentioned and that I agree with is the bikes are definitely smaller looking. Whether or not actually smaller in size, who knows? But without all the wings and the rockets and the whatever else, the spoilers on
dinosaur
the back.
Dinosaur tails.
Whatever else is on them, these bikes looked – the riders look normal size, honestly.
The riders actually look big, those little horse jockeys. Yeah, they actually look big because they
– except for when they were walking through the crowd to get to their bikes.
That's true. They were the smallest guys in the group, but that's beside the point.
When, on the bikes.
when they put a leg out. When they do the Rossi leg dangle going into a corner,
mm-hmm.
It just made the bike look small.
Yeah.
Underneath them.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I think was really hitting me was they're coming in within a second and a half of World Superbike times
right. On
arguably stock street bikes. For not much money, you could go buy this bike. Sorry. For not much money after you go buy this bike, you could get these upgrades that they had, right? And that's something right. that a club racer might do or whatever. And to put down times like that on a bike that you've never ridden before, I know they have V4s available for riding in the off season or between rounds or whatever, right. But they don't do that a whole lot. They're not allowed to adjust the settings either. And that's kind of the big thing, I think, for me, realizing that these guys really do have such a just raw talent, is that you put them on a bike, they got 2 20-minute sessions before that race and then a 10-lap race. And it was not exciting. It was fun to watch.
It was exciting, but the next thing, you know, we're commonly watching a MotoGP race and we're saying things like, look at Binder. Look how out of control he is. Look at the – he's backing that bike in. The bike's moving around. Oh, not like this.
Yeah, I kind of wish they could have adjusted the suspension a little bit because those brakes –
Oh, man, it did at times definitely look like the man in this case was overriding the bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in a way you don't see.
You come into a corner and you see him grab the brakes and the whole bike's just kind of wobbling, and then they get the back end out and they're coming out, and it's just those bikes were unruly. And, you know, the only funny part to me was the big change for this year, besides a little bit of cosmetic, was that they lightened or – they changed the swing arm flexibility on Panigale. So that should, in theory, make it easier to turn, a little less stable in the turns, but make it even less of a brick than right. They already were, which I have heard complaints around the paddock. Like, if you're not an avid Ducati guy, they're still bricks, basically. So Ducati's still trying to work to change that. And they didn't look like bricks.
So it's there. Just, I think, if you take it back to, like, one of the things I found myself thinking is, if you take it back to a club racing level, generally speaking, I mean, there are people that this isn't the case, but generally speaking, you can go buy a new 1000 whatever brand.
Yeah.
And you're probably never riding that bike to its full potential.
Correct. Yeah.
This race looked like people who could ride a bike past its potential and they needed more equipment.
Yeah.
Which is what it should have been, I guess.
Yeah, but it was – when you say the track looked too small, right, that's kind of what I think you're talking about there, is that, like, these guys are constantly going over the curbing, into the green, right, all over the place. And you're like, how are you running out of track? They might not have been running out of track. They might have been running out of bike.
Yeah,
and
thank God they weren't given penalties, or that would have been just solid long lappers.
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, to see them, to your point, to see them push the bikes so far that they run out, but then they're still keeping it up. It's not like they're out there just wrecking them.
Yeah, we only had one crash.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get there later. But
so.
But big points. Let's talk riders. We're not a spoiler show. By that, I mean, if you're watching our show and you haven't watched the race yet, you don't watch our show because – we don't care about spoilers at this point. It's Wednesday.
We're always way past the date. If you haven't watched it by then,
you're probably not watching anyway. So we're here to give you the news. Iannone was on the pole, and Bagnaia led the first lap, led every lap after that, took the win. And at the end, he kind of pulled away in classic Bagnaia fashion. We're wondering if he had a different set of tires or something.
You were. I wasn't. But let's talk about that. What does that do for your respect level? The guy didn't start on the pole.
He didn't.
He was on a bike that was the same as everybody else's.
True.
And it looked like a MotoGP weekend.
It did. Had a track that he
loves.
Has ridden his entire life.
Absolutely.
He's very, very well known with.
But so is Batista, and so is Iannone, and so is Bastianini. And when you've seen the list of riders on there was 15 riders?
Yes, 15 total. Yep.
12 of those were Italian. You had one British guy, and the rest were from Spain.
Yep.
So
two Spaniards.
Yeah. So, no, there was more. There's Jorge Martin, both the Marquez brothers, and there was one other one on there that I didn't.
I don't know. But mostly Italians, yeah.
What point being, they've all rode that track. All them Italians rode that track about a million times, but Bagnaia, absolutely good at that track in MotoGP, I believe is considered his home track. Mm-hmm. He definitely is.
So,
got some laps around there.
I mean, that's what I kind of – what I was hinting at earlier, I don't remember exactly how I said it, but the whole – they're not allowed to set the bikes up for them. Because in my head, I want to take credit away from him and say, well, it's his track, and he's always been riding on these test Ducatis, right? So he should be pretty used to a Panigale compared to someone else that might have just come over to Ducati or doesn't get as much testing time or whatever. But then you look at it, you're like, okay, if he's out on that Panigale for testing for practice or whatever, he's got his team there. They're going to set it up. They're going to get the suspension dialed in for him. They're going to have the brakes set up. They're going to get it as set up close to his MotoGP bike as possible. They didn't do that this weekend. So you're absolutely right. The respect level for him after this race definitely went up. Because you also know that the people behind him, some of them might have been kind of just, yeah, whatever, this is, you know, this is all joke. It's all for fun. It's not a joke, but doesn't matter. We'll have some fun, put on a show. You know, they're waving on the freaking warm-up lap and whatever else. But the guy right behind him, Iannone, one would argue probably really wanted to win that to kind of shove it in everyone's face. And Bagnaia showed up and did his job.
Yeah.
And yeah, respect is definitely there for him.
So I've got to say, even if I don't win any fans from this, you're right. Like under the helmet, everybody was there for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
Some test riders maybe that thought now's my time to really take it to these guys because I got nothing to lose. I'm not interfering with their championship as long as I don't hurt nobody.
Yeah.
But you've got Bagnaia, home track, trying to prove that he's the best. I am Ducati. But as you mentioned, Iannone, I know there's a lot of reasons he would have loved to win that race.
Yeah, pent up kind of. Yeah.
But further down, I just have to say, for you Batista fans out there, Batista got dominated in this race. Batista got bumped. Shook his head, never, you know, got frustrated, got back into it.
He got bumped in a hand wave on the way past.
By a Marquez brother, might I add. Mm-hmm. Might I add.
Yeah, right after that happened, there's Martin just slipping through, no problem.
But the announcers, good job, announcers. We don't know who the announcers were. They were different than the normal crew. But good job, announcers, covering for Batista. He's probably, I think the comment was something along the lines of, he's probably just trying to save himself because he's chasing a championship, trying to catch up to Top Rack.
Yep, holding back here to save himself for the world championship that he's currently fighting for or something like that.
Yeah. While Buliga is running in third.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Batista's down 100 points. If he was that worried about it, he should have just not showed up.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's written in their contract in the beginning of the year that they have to. Like Ducati's like, hey, here's your bike. Also, you have to show up to World Ducati Week and race with us. But if you're really that worried about injuring yourself or whatever else, you're not going to get on a bike and go on a racetrack unless you're actually racing for your championship. So,
yeah, you can't tell me you weren't trying at the time that you, Alex Marquez clearly had the spot and he tried.
Yeah.
From the angle I've seen. But yeah, that's just an opinion.
That was another interesting point. MotoGP covered this, so it's on the MotoGP app. You can go watch it from there. That's how we watched it, but it was not the full MotoGP coverage. They didn't have every camera.
They didn't do it in English.
They didn't do it in that. Yeah, our announcers were in English, but the interviews afterward, definitely Italian/Spanish.
No subtitles either.
Well, yeah, no subtitles, no nothing. You're just sitting there like, yeah, which if you're from Italy and you're listening, I hope you like our subtitles. And I guess it was better for you this weekend. I don't know, but I think you normally get it in Italian. So a little interesting. Makes sense. Not surprising. It's not a MotoGP event per se. It's all put on by Ducati. I think it was pretty cool that it was on the app. You know, I've been watching for long enough that they said the last one was in 2022. Didn't know anything about it. So I think this is the first year maybe that MotoGP covered it, and it kind of definitely brought it further into light for me, at least.
But I thought it was well worth watching. For those of you with the app, if you've seen it on there and haven't got a chance to watch, you should go check it out, see if we're off base. But now, I have to say,
okay,
we had a clean race. Batista got bumped by a Marquez brother.
There was more than just that. The first lap, I was wondering what was going on.
Oh, they were all over the place. But you have to think, is this like a charity boxing match?
Yeah.
Are they giving it all? Or, I mean, I think they were. Like I said, there was reasons for everybody to want to have a good showing.
I know. Jorge Martin went off twice in the first two
laps. Everybody went off in the first lap.
That first, like, what, second or third corner, there's three bikes all the way over just cutting out. Yeah.
But no crashes.
True.
Everybody kept the bike up.
Until?
We get all the way to the end of this race.
The end of the race.
And unfortunately, they didn't bring out all the normal cameras, I don't think, because we had a camera on Bagnaia.
Yep.
Watching him go over the start-finish line. And we had a camera in the background watching Mark Marquez.
Watching the last corner. I wasn't watching Mark. I was watching that last corner only, which is why...
All we see is Beluga going into the dirt, hands out, screaming that something bad had happened to him. And I said, oh boy, that had to be Mark. So when they finally found the one camera angle they had, it's hard to tell if Mark...
By then, there's already sparks flying.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Beluga, as you call him, Mr. Whale, is already...
Beluga. That is his name.
Beluga. The Beluga Whale himself, Ducati rider.
Oh, horse face.
He's already on the ground at that point from that angle. I'll say what coming into that penultimum, the last lap, I can't say whatever that word is.
That wasn't right though.
Continue.
You're not right.
The last lap of the race, the one that matters. I'll get the word down. We'll get it next time. Anyway, coming into there, you know, he's down by less than half a second and he comes up on Beluga. At one point, almost took it, and then we're watching them kind of fight a little bit, but the camera angles are not there. They're not just on them the whole time, and then you see Bagnaia come around the corner, and you watch him go down the start-finish, and then you see a yellow, and you see a blue, and there's no red, and we're like, what happened to this whale? Where did he go?
I knew what happened instantly.
I think, yeah, I mean, obviously, he had to have wrecked. That was the goal. And then they immediately flashed to him in the dirt, like, what's going on? So, yeah, we kind of...
More to come. We're going to have to dig into that a little bit because there really isn't any angles. And after the race, the interview with Mark was in Spanish.
Yeah, they did get an English layover taken up to him. And they said that Mark's words in his interview were that he didn't feel any contact. I read one article that said most of the articles are just like, yeah, the camera angle wasn't there. There was contact and Beluga went down.
I don't know. He never feels any contact, but 30% of all MotoGP crashes have a Mark Marquez next to him.
Rubbing is racing. If you can't hang, don't hang. I don't know.
Oh, that guy.
Oh. It is interesting that there are no wrecks the entire race. The race doesn't matter. All you're doing is putting a Ducati next to other Ducatis, like, who cares? You're going for third place, too. It's not like it was for the first place.
Hey, man, I agree. There was a checkered flag. I ain't criticizing him for it.
There you go. Yeah, that's true. You know, drink water, go faster, and win no matter what.
Right.
But it is a little interesting that there is only one crash, and Mark Marquez was involved in the crash. Maybe he wasn't. We will dig into that a little more. I'll see if word comes out over this next week, and we'll put it out next weekend. But I think it's going to get shoved down pretty quickly. For the Mark Marquez haters in the audience, you know, let us know down in the comments if you watched it, what do you think? And speaking of comments, I need an answer from our friends across the pond. I know we got some listeners over in Germany that are everyone that listens is using some VPN from Europe. So I don't know, whichever one it is, we had a big question, and we haven't fully gotten it answered. We couldn't quite tell. But the question was, are they running GP shift? And then the question in my head is, in Europe, do bikes come standard GP shift?
No way.
So that's the question, because the commentators mentioned the things they changed. Obviously, we brought to face the there's no kickstands, there's belly pans, there's probably safety wire. Cool, I got all that. But shifting to GP shift compared to what we go by. In the States, if you go buy a Ducati Panigale V4S today from a dealer, it's going to come in what we call standard shift. Just down one, up five, right? Yep. Down one, up six, I guess. That's what they call it. So down one, neutral, up six. You get into racing, and not only do most people shift over to a GP shift, but you also get rid of neutral, put it on the bottom. You have a neutral turn off. So how much of that might have been changed that they didn't really mention because they don't think it matters? But when you take into account they race these bikes every weekend and they're used to clicking down, you know, I bought a bike that had GP shift that I wasn't used to. I'll tell you, there was a time that I hit the freeway I went straight into muscle memory, and I downshifted twice instead of upshifting. And like, there was enough RPM, the bike was fine. But that's something you want to be doing in the middle of a race, right?
Right.
So that's my question for you, the audience, friends that we have on the other side of the world. Let us know when you go pick up a bike, what shift pattern it is, if one is up or one is down, and what comes after that. I'm curious. And that does kind of cover up or fully cover, close up, the World Ducati Week Race of Champions, which there are only two champions in the race, one test rider and a whole bunch of other Ducati riders. That is what we got.
You got to remember, though, too often we think of Joan Mir as a one-time champion, but that's not how the announcers, that's not how motorcycle racing championships
work. It's true. I guess if I don't know how many of those guys have
won. I think there was a comment. There was like 22 championships on the grid.
Moto 2, Moto 3, whatever.
World Superbike, Junior Championships. Okay. All those things.
I'll give you that.
So
once again, I thought it was going to be like we were going to have Rossi out there and Stoner out there and some older Ducati riders from the past that have been world champions. So that's why I say that. But you are correct.
But cool race. I'll watch for it in the future. I wouldn't mind going back and looking, seeing if I can find some of the old ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see. And I said it started in 98, and there have been 12 of them. So that's why I have a feeling that it just follows the launch of a new Panigale. Right, and this one was obviously a little bit different looking, and maybe a little uglier than the old one.
I mentioned maybe Aprilia should do it. They should have like an Aprilia week, and then they could just have like four bikes race each other.
Maybe that'd be better.
Yeah, maybe.
Because maybe Aprilia's bike on the street is closer to top performance.
All right, now you got a personal Aprilia feelings bleeding into the show.
I bike a lot.
All right. That it for the race?
I think that's it for the race. So, yeah, if you didn't watch it and you want to, it's worth a watch. It's only 10 laps. It's a good time. But, yeah, I think that's all we got for that coverage.
All right. Well, last thing I wanted to cover, we had some more sad news in the USBA paddock over the weekend. I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. Charlie Coffin passed away this weekend. He was involved in a dirt bike accident. Longtime rider, racer of the USBA paddock. I wanted to bring it up to give the opportunity, if you haven't heard that, there is a GoFundMe.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have a link for the GoFundMe down in the description to help out his family. He did leave a family behind. I think that's one of the biggest reasons we mentioned this is that, you know, you lose a friend, you lose a teammate, you lose a fellow racer, you lose whatever, but there are kids that lost a father and a wife that lost a husband, which, not to take anything away from friendships, but usually family is a little bit deeper and they could use the help. So
we'll put a link to the GoFundMe at the bottom of this when it posts. If you can spare some help for the family, that would be great.
Yep.
And our condolences definitely go out to the family.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's never fun. Yep, keep them in your thoughts, and especially if you're here in Utah racing with USBA. I know he was a beloved member of the paddock, and a lot of people knew him, huge mentor. So.
Okay. On that note, we have MotoGP coming up? No.
Not yet.
We got Moto America coming up?
Yeah, Moto America coming up. World Superbike always kind of happens in the background.
In the forefront, but go ahead.
Yeah. Threw me off. Anyway, we did mention a bonus tip from Josh Bender. We just took a look at that tip, and I think we're going to hold it for next weekend because I think it's going to ring pretty true.
Yeah, it's because I like it.
Yep. So we'll bring that straight to the front of next week's episode. And you can look forward next week to an episode from the paddock, assuming weather holds. And
it'll be hot. Weather's holding
and everything else. I only bring up weather because we are a weather channel, it seems. So that's what we're here for, is to give you the weather on motorcycle racing news and everything else. But yeah, we'll have some good friends down there with us at USBA. And as we mentioned that last week, if you're there, stop in, say hi, find the flag, find the tent.
Yeah.
Get yourself a sticker.
Come say hello.
And we'll see everyone there.
Yeah. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.